It's always good to be here. You are becoming familiar faces. I want to do something that I did not plan, but it struck me this morning when we're praying for the missionaries. I want everybody to stand for a brief moment. Look around. When you hear the word Grace Bible Church, they see your face in their mind. You are missionaries. We don't have to go to Alaska. We don't have to go wherever. The Great Commission is you start at home and work your way out. But Jay, I'm not comfortable with people. That's not scriptural. That just means we have to depend on God. When God said, I will be with you in your strength. No, he says, I am with you in your weakness. For when you are weak, I am strong. We're fooling ourselves. I don't know enough. I'm not strong enough. It's not what he says. We have a lot of very intellectual believers who don't do anything. And they'll answer for that. Even the widow with the two copper coins. Jesus, as we say in Texas, atta girl. You are missionaries. We need to realize that. We're sent. We have the gifts. He enables. Sometimes he doesn't enable till we get there. I was telling Brother Dale this morning, I was turkey hunting yesterday, kind of going through this, and the Lord just kind of added some stuff. And I'm thinking, where is that going to fit in the outline? Da, 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 da. He said, don't worry about that. So you can have a seat. We're all missionaries in our daily lives. It's hardest to be a missionary when you're in I-75 traffic jam or somebody's practicing aisle rage at the grocery store. If you haven't encountered one of those yet, you will. Things can get pretty sticky pretty quick. But the most important thoughts we think are what we think about God. Because what we think about God determines everything we do and say. I heard that from Dr. Bingham, one of my professor turned friend. That applies to everything. How we act and what we think and what we do demonstrates what we think about God. And in a world of multi-pluralism, that's a big fancy word for everybody's got something to worship. And a lot of times it's something that we've made into a God that controls us. And it's not even living at all. It's amazing how an old wise Tom Turkey can be fooled by a fake call and a decoy. Didn't work yesterday, but I tried. We believe that we are biblical in our beliefs, from index to maps. The map's not inspired, table of contents not inspired, but everything else in there is. And one thing we see as we go through the scripture is that there are themes develop. Because if God, if he unloaded the dump truck all at once, we couldn't make it. We all start out on milk, as the New Testament says, and we progress to meat. Nothing against vegetarians, vegans. That's just in the scripture. That was cultural. That was that time. One thing that we look at is this morning. It was mentioned in the Sunday school lesson. Bruce Wilkinson made this little quote very famous. He said, the New Testament is in the old contained. The old is in the new explained. The new is in the old contained. It's there. The old is in the new explained. Gotta have both. Gotta have both. So the topic this morning is, it's called the Great Set Apart. The Great Set Apart. What are some things that we set apart? We're small enough, I believe, in a little back and forth. He alluded to what I do. God's calling is I'm a dean of discipline at a public school. And so I deal with all kinds of things. Forgiveness being a part of discipline as well. What are some things we set apart? How many of you set your clothes out last night for this morning? How many of you charged your phone last Talk about idols. Let's go right to it. How many plugged your phones in last night? Oh, Jay, you're stepping on shoes now. Saving for retirement. Schedules. I don't know. I got to fit you into my schedule. We prioritize things all the time. My wife can remember anything. She looks at me 2 minutes later and says, "You remember what we just talked about?" And I say, "Oh, that's a weird way to start a conversation. I'm sorry you said something." Then I go to the man cave for a while. We put the coffee maker on auto the night before. If you're like me, if I'm taking something different to school the next day, I put it by the back door so I don't forget it. And the list goes on and on and on. The great set apart. Throughout the Bible, the phrase, the fear of the Lord, is mentioned 365 times. Kind of neat, because there's 365 days in a year. One day, one time a day. Do not fear. The world, you know, the Bible never says don't fear Satan. Run, and we put on the armor. And common sense is not so common. Just don't go there. Love is mentioned 106 to 115 times in the New Testament alone, with the majority being in 1 John. Love was a huge theme of John, as well as nighttime and darkness. If agape love is arguably the most missed and practiced characteristic within the church today, recognizing and seeking this aspect of God, and the Hebrew word is kadosh. Everybody say that. I'm going to teach you a Hebrew word this morning. Kadosh. Or kadoshing. I'm going to tell you what it's translated as in a minute. You may already know. And the command for us to kadosh is there. A biblical understanding of God's kadoshness must be an impetus for us to work out our salvation. Sanctification, as we would be striving to attain more of this each decision at a time. Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. It's a book that thick. All the references of all the words in the Bible. How many times, where you find it, multiple meetings, context, etc. It should be called Strong's Heavy Exhaustive Concordance. One of these days, it'll probably prop up somebody's couch. But that's old school. They don't do that anymore, do they? Sears Roebuck catalog. I'm not that old. Some of y'all are like, if you can't find it online, Strong's Exhaustive Concordance primarily denotes this as something or someone that is set apart for a special purpose, often in relation to God. It signifies purity, sanctity, and separation for the common or profane. In Hebrew Bible, it is frequently used to describe God himself, his people, places, and objects dedicated to his service. Depending on which translation you read, it's mentioned around 611 times in the Bible. And we're going to look at all 611 here in a moment. Just kidding. 159 times in the Hebrew Bible, 55 times in Exodus, 94 times in the book of Leviticus. 430 total in the Old Testament, and 180 in one form or another in the New. It's first mentioned in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, and last mentioned in Revelation 22:19. Does anybody have any idea what the word is? Holy. So you know the Hebrew word for holy, that's kadosh. If you're watching Jeopardy, you may get that question right. Holiness is one of the attributes of God. If you go online and search attributes of God, you will get million sources, anywhere from 5 to 20. That was mentioned before, God's holiness is not talked about much anymore. You know, we're New Testament Christians, but we're also biblical Christians. What would our missions look like? What would our daily lives be like if we had a good grasp and practiced and followed and honored God's holiness? Holiness means set aside. I heard a young person speaking one time, said, "I just want to jump in the lap of Daddy God." In Isaiah 6, nobody's in God's lap. He is that holy. What happened to the fellow that reached out to grab the ark when it was falling off? Did he immediately get wings? No, God went. He took him. David even got so scared, he said, "I'm not going to touch this thing. We're going to leave it at the neighbor's house." Imagine what the neighbor said. "Oh, no, thank you. I don't want that thing here." We saw what God does. John Roxie wrote this: "In a world increasingly characterized by moral ambiguity and shifting values, the concept of holiness stands as a timeless beacon, inviting reflection and reverence. What does it truly mean to be holy, and how does this profound idea resonate throughout the pages of the Bible? From the fiery encounters on Mount Sinai to the gentle whispers in quiet prayer, holiness in the Bible is not merely an abstract concept. It is deeply woven practicality in all of our existence. We practice God's holiness in one way or the other. So the question to us is, how holiness in us, or do we really think God is?" We can watch that. We can hear what we say, watch what we do, of how serious we take that. As we journey through the sacred text, which we're going to do in a moment, not all 611, we discover that holiness transcends mere rules or rituals. It embodies a transformative relationship with God that calls us to live differently, set apart for purpose and love. This doesn't mean we monk up and go hide in our homes. But it also doesn't mean we get outside and just go absolutely crazy throwing the gospel around. Both extremes are very, very dangerous. Some of that's going to be what we're going to talk about tonight, the applications. But we'll give you an appetizer or two in a moment. Let's look briefly at some things that God set aside. You don't have to turn to all of these. If you have something just to jot them down with. In Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3, God set aside a time. Do you remember what he called that? The Sabbath. It's the only commandment of the 10 that Jesus did not repeat in the New Testament. He made reference to the other 9, but he never said, "You will continue with the Sabbath." The followers actually started the new tradition of meeting on Sunday, the first day of the week. God sets aside a time. So as I was telling Bobby and Brenda and Brother Darrell this morning, God preached this sermon to me the last 2 weeks. I mean, he hits me with it first. And don't ever want to come across as me speaking down, because he's got me in his crosshairs first. And so, do we set aside time for God? And by the way, what did God call that day? Sabbath. Keep it holy. Do we set aside time during the week for just God? It's not amount. It's the quality of time. You know, you go on a date. How much quality time is it versus better check this off or she's going to be mad at me if I don't? Quality time. Do we set aside time for God? God set aside a place. What did God tell Moses at Sinai? "Take off your flip-flops, because the ground you are standing on is holy." Moses, I'm about to tell you some stuff that's going to rock your world, but you first have to realize you're in my presence. What are some holy places in our lives? If somebody brings up a topic and you kind of say, "Whoa, you're stepping on holy ground now." Exodus 3, do not fear, take off your sandals, for the place you are standing on is holy. In Revelation, who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name, for you are holy. There is a city that God called holy. And what is that? Jerusalem. This is my holy hill. He will draw people from north, south, east, and west to Zion, Jerusalem. Revelation 22, if anyone takes away from the words of this book, adds to or deletes, I will take away his share in the tree of life in the holy city. Jerusalem is going to, the new Jerusalem is going to come back down. We believe in a literal. It's coming back for how it was intended, and it will be forever. The Ark of the Covenant symbolized God's presence. It was holy. And the law is called holy. Romans 12. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. So what God says is holy. It's set aside for his purpose. The tabernacle and later the temple. What was that special room in the back that only the high priest could go in once a year? The Holy of Holies. You remember why they tied a rope around his leg? In case God zapped him, they could pull him out because nobody else was going to go in. Jesus is referred to in Matthew and in Luke as the Holy One of God. I've stayed the last couple of nights with Bobby and Brenda, and we were talking this morning about even demons recognize this about Jesus. We don't have any, some people have no respect for Jesus, but a demon does. Amazing. We have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit set aside. We believe he is God himself. Same essence, different function. What is the temple of a Christian? Where do we go? It's our body. It's our body. I'm going to read several references. Romans 12, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Remember earlier we talked about the most important thoughts we think are what we think about God? Because what we think about God determines what we say and do, how we treat our body. I hope God loves Coke Zero. We talked about that this morning. And they're so bad for you, but hot fries, that is my, not Takis, hot fries. I can make it past the first Circle K, but the second one usually gets me. I just need to stay away. What we eat, what we let into our minds, what we see. 1 Corinthians 3, do you not know that you are God's temple and the Holy Spirit dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 3, right after that, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy. Sexual sin is the only one that affects the body. All of the sin are committed outside the body. But immorality, comes from the word porneia or pornography, affects the body. You look at that stuff long enough, it has been medically proven. You don't have to be a believer to know this. The secular people are saying this. It can change your neural anatomy. It conforms to what it sees. 2 Corinthians 7, since we have these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement, bringing holiness to completion to the fear of God. That leads into tonight. What's our responsibility? When we are saved, when a person is born again, God declares us holy, but he doesn't stop there. We have a responsibility after that. And the process is called sanctification. Colossians 1, he has now reconciled in his body the flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless. God has done his part. How are we at doing ours? that each of you may know how to control his body in holiness and honor. That's our temple. Now for a people. Leviticus 19. Remember, the word holy is mentioned some 95 times just in Leviticus alone. What's the point? God is preparing to move his people into the promised land. The pagans are already there. Their cult worship is already there. God wanted his people, you need your identity. Because you're going to be influenced by everything else you see. I remember before I went to college, Dad said, remember, you're a knight. Keep the name. I remember that charge. Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I am holy. The church is holy. It's set aside. We are the missionaries. Isaiah is also known as the New Testament in the Old. Or the Bible in the Old. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. Hebrews, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and be holy. This next part, this is one worthy to underline. Does anybody else underline and write in their Bibles? My wife said, when I pass on, she's not going to know what's written because I tend to have bad handwriting. Well, I know what I'm writing. So, make every effort to live in peace for with and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That has two parts to it. If you're not born again, we cannot see God. We learn about him. But even if we are born again and we're involved in sin, we can't see God. 1 Peter, as he who called you is holy, so also be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, this is a reference back to Leviticus, you shall be holy because I am. The church, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That's us. I mean, our king is not on planet yet. We don't have our land yet. But our land is coming and our king is coming. We don't think of, in our daily lives, we don't think of the U.S. of having a king. But the hearers back in the Bible times would have clearly understood this. That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. For God has not called us for impurity, but holiness. And most importantly, God refers to himself. Isaiah. And Isaiah's vision. Was it people singing and saying, holy, holy, holy? Or who was it? It was the angels. And in Ezekiel, and I will vindicate my holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you, Israel, have profaned among them. I will vindicate my holiness before their eyes. They will see it. And the four living creatures in Revelation. If you notice, we're going Old Testament all the way through the New. It's all in there. It's a good balance. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. So as we wrap this up, we have a responsibility for holiness. God's is first when we are born again. He imputes that to us. He gives it to us. Not because we earned it, but because Christ is the object of our faith. We demonstrate faith in something every time we make a decision, basically. How many of you tested the pew this morning to see if it would hold you up before you sat down? How many of you trusted that people would stop on a red light and go on a green? Yeah, come to Orlando. It's opposite. Green means slow down, and red means speed up. It's backwards. So how are we doing with our part? This is called sanctification. We are to be image bearers. When it says in the Bible we are to become like Christ, it doesn't mean we're going to be another Christ. The people that believe that would be the Mormons. When it says be like Christ, means we're getting a physical body back. What it does mean in our holiness, how are we growing in our daily lives and with people. One of my professors said, you know, it's not easy to love on people. We think we have to go do something huge and big and shake the world. He said, park further away from where you're going into and let somebody park closer. You're loving on somebody. That's easy. I know a fellow who keeps water bottles and peanut butter crackers, because when he comes up to the red lights, there's always homeless people. And it's getting summertime. In Orlando, it's already been in the 80s and humid. And the worst is yet to come. What holiness doesn't mean is that we don't monk up, we go into isolation. I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do. Holy Spirit said he'll help you. We are to be involved in people's lives. You know, being with Alaska Missions for all those years, I call it Marine Corps Missions. We're on the front line, we're in their domain. Well, that's true for everybody in here. We're around backslidden Christians all day long. We're here about people whose God is working on in that week. You know, should I, should I not? It may be just that kind response. Proverbs 3, you know, one of the, we know 3, 5, and 6, but before that it says, do not let kindness leave you. Kindness is a great mission work that anybody can do. Everybody can do. So we are to be involved. When we hear the name Grace Bible Church, what are some things that I want to be known for? That's a loving church, and I'm sure it is. They want to see Grace Bible out in being effective in the neighborhoods. Not crazy, out of control. But loving on people. And you would be amazed how kindness spawns kindness and interest. Because son, it's going to come around, you know, why are you so kind to me? There you go. They've just qualified themselves. You know, being in public education, the most frustrating part is that I can't tell them about Christ. I had an opportunity the other day, and I was right there, but I couldn't do it. And I had to get up and go for a walk, saying, Lord, I do not like this. And he just reminds us, you know, it's not my job to save them. My job is just to love on them and point them in the direction. And somebody who can will come around later and say that. So be intentional. Let somebody park closer. It's hard. It's real hard, especially when we're in a hurry. Have water bottle just set aside in your vehicle just to hand. Those are the little things. That also sanctifies us. It helps us to see God clearer. We're not told everything Jesus did, but we are told in John chapter 20, enough is recorded to prove he is the Son of God. And so, well, let's close and look forward to seeing you all again tonight. Father, we thank you for your holiness, that you allow us to see that. You allow us to experience that through and by your Son, Jesus Christ, first, and then through the Scripture, and then by the Holy Spirit. Help us to love on each other through this week and to love on others. We're mission. We're always on mission. Help us to see your picture of it. We don't limit ourselves because of our weaknesses or tell others, you know, they're better at it than I am. Anybody can love. We give it to you. We lay it at your feet. We take up our responsibility to become more holy. In Jesus' name, amen.